हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, chapter 2, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Page 50. Okay, so then the following example. So 2, from the Sweta Svatara Upanishad 6, 7, and 3, 12. O Supreme Lord, you are the Supreme Maheshwara, the worshipable deity of all the demigods and the supreme lord of all lords. You are the control of all controllers, the personality of Godhead, the lord of everything worshipable. The supreme personality of Godhead is Mahaprabhu, who disseminates transcendental enlightenment. Just to be in touch with him is to be in contact with the indestructible Brahmajyoti. From the Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.3, one who sees that golden-colored personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Actor, who is the source of the the Supreme Brahman, is liberated. 4. From Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.33.34 and 7.9.38, we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Him, the Lord upon whom one should always meditate. He destroys insults to His devotees. He removes the distress of his devotees and satisfies their desires. He is the abode of all holy places and the shelter of all sages. He is worshipable by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. He is the boat of the demigods for crossing the ocean of birth and death. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord, upon whom one should always meditate. He left his household life, leaving aside his eternal consort, whom even the denizens of heaven adore. He went into the forest to deliver the fallen souls, who are put into illusion by material energy. Prahlad said, "My Lord, you kill all the enemies of the world in your multifarious incarnations in the families of men, animals, demigods, rishis, aquatics, and so on. Thus you illuminate the worlds with transcendental knowledge. In the age of Kali, O Mahapurusha, you sometimes appear in a covered incarnation. Therefore, you are known as Tri Yuga, one who appears in only three yugas." 5. From the Krishna Yamala Tantra. Punye kshetre navadvipe bhavishyami sachisutaha. I shall appear in the holy land of Navadvip as the son of Sachidevi. From the Vayu Purana. Kalau sankirtanaram he bhavishyami sachisutaha. In the age of Kali, when the Sankirtan movement is inaugurated, I shall descend as the son of Sachidevi. From the Brahma Yamala Tantra. Sometimes I personally appear on the surface of the world in the garb of a devotee. Specifically, I appear as the son of Sachi in Kali Yuga to start the Sankirtana movement. From the Ananta Samhita. The Supreme Person, Sri Krishna Himself, who is the life of Sri Radharani, is the Lord of the universe and creation, maintenance and annihilation, appears as Gora, O Maheshwari. Okay, so these are then Srila Prabhupada citing all the different examples of from the scriptures. Yeah, he already said, we already did Chaitanya Upanishad. So those are all. So in other words, Lord Chaitanya is spoken about in the scriptures. So even we see is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he knew all these verses, but he just didn't know what they meant. But after meeting Lord Chaitanya, then he understood. Lord Narayana, who dominates the transcendental world, is full in six opulences. He is the personality of Godhead, the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune. The personality of Godhead is he who is described as the absolute whole in the Vedas, Bhagavatam, Upanishads, and other transcendental literatures. No one is equal to him. Srila Prabhupada. There are innumerable authoritative statements in the Vedas regarding the personal feature of the absolute truth. Some of them are as follows. Right, so we had the point of Lord Chaitanya coming, then we have about his personal, about the personal aspect of the Lord. From the Rig Samhita 1:22:20. The personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is the absolute truth, whose lotus feet all the demigods are always eager to see. Like the sun god, he pervades everything by the rays of his energy. He appears impersonal to imperfect eyes. Right, so Rig Samhita, so that'd be the Rig Veda itself, the main section of the Veda. From Narayan Artharva, Shira Upanishad. It is from Narayana only that everything is generated, by him only that everything is maintained, and in him only that everything is annihilated. Therefore, Narayana is eternally existing. Everything that exists now or will be created in the future is nothing but Narayana, who is the unadulterated deity. There is only Narayana and nothing else. From the Narayana Upanishad, 1:4. Yata prasuta jagata prasuti. Narayana is the source from whom all the universes emanate. 4. From the Haya Shirsha Pancharatra, Paramatma Harir Deva. Hari is the Supreme Lord. From Srimad Bhagavatam 11:3, 34, 35. O best of the Brahmanas, please tell us of the position of Narayana, who is also known as Brahman and Paramatma. O King, know him who is causeless and yet is the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. He exists in the three states of consciousness, namely waking, dreaming, and deep sleep, as well as beyond them, right? Because that's Turiya. He enlivens the body, the senses, the breath of life, and the heart, and thus they move. Know him to be supreme. Right, so the body, the senses, the breath of life means the life airs and that, the heart, that all moves because he is his potency that makes it move. Right, it's not that the jiva is there, the jiva is making it move. No, the Lord makes it. Because the jiva is there, the Lord makes it work. Right, so it's about relationship. Then, text 25. Through their service, devotees see that personality of Godhead, just as the denizens of heaven see the personality of the sun. Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has his eternal form, which cannot be seen by material eyes or mental speculation. Only by transcendental devotional service can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. The comparison is made here to the qualifications for viewing the personal features of the sun god. The sun god is a person who, although not visible to our eyes, is seen from the higher planets as the demigods, whose eyes are suitable for seeing through the glaring sunshine that surrounds him. Every planet has its own atmosphere according to the influence of the arrangement of the material nature. It is therefore necessary to have a particular type of bodily construction to reach a particular planet. The inhabitants of Earth may be able to reach the moon, but the inhabitants of heaven can reach even the fiery sphere called the sun. What is impossible for man on earth is easy for the demigods in heaven because of their different bodies. Similarly, to see the Supreme Lord, one must have the spiritual eyes of devotional service. The personality of Godhead is unapproachable by those who are habituated to speculation about the absolute truth in terms of experimental scientific thought, without reference to the transcendental vibration. The ascending approach to the absolute truth ends in the realization of impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma, but not the supreme transcendental personality. Because even those who realize the localized Paramatma, you'll see then they'll go back and merge into him. So no one gets past the Brahman platform. Because that's all they can understand, actually. Because otherwise, if they understood him as a person, they would then with devotion, they would surrender and move forward to Bhagavan. Like we see in the Bhagavatam, so many of the yogis there. Then, after meditating on the Lord, then surrender, take up devotional service, and continue their activities. Right?
Yes. So they then therefore never reach Aprakriti.
They'll never reach?
Aprakriti. The Supreme Lord, they define Anukshya, Aprakriti, and Aparukshya.
Yeah. That means that's what he's involved in, is these are the levels of consciousness. And that these are the levels at which you can appreciate the different aspects. Only by the descending process can you know Bhagavan. So unless they take up bhakti, you can't know Bhagavan, because that is the only descending process. Right? Does that make sense? So even if someone's hearing from the Vedas, from an authorized, you know, guru in a line on the Veda or whatever it is like that, still their process of understanding is still going to be ascending. Because they're going to take that knowledge, and with that knowledge, through their speculation, try to attain the Lord.
Right? Some believers sleep in one tradition, and in Christian tradition, claim that God is the first son, which is very beautiful.
Who is?
God. God is the first son, and the God is the beautiful. People claim in Islam, in Sufi, very rare.
And, the Sufis say.
Yes. And my question is, how did our contact with the changing process of Guru Parampara, they got this understanding?
Yes, they have the understanding that God is beautiful, but are they talking about specifically his form is beautiful, or the experience of being involved in their approach and devotion is beautiful? Does that make sense? Okay. And then, where do they have evidence of that? Where are they gaining this from?
Some of them did a long time back. For example, in Kazakhstan, they have Sutri, Salim, he practiced during 6 years his birth of children, and in the time of death, he thought, oh, why, you are so beautiful, and you are changing, and then he died.
Okay. So, but are they not practicing some form of devotion? You didn't answer the question.
I mean that if he was not in contact with the changing process of Guru Parampara.
But do they not apply some devotion to their process, in their practice?
Some devotion.
Yeah. So then they're worshipping the Lord, but, you know, through their own particular medium and all that. But the point is at what aspect of the Lord are they seeing, right? Because when you talk about that the Lord is a person at the same time as there's the understanding of the impersonal, you're dealing with Paramatma, right? Because if you're talking about Vaikuntha and all these other places, they're all dealing with Paramatma. The demigods, they also deal with Paramatma, because it's about his position, his greatness and all that. And so it's not that greatness is not beautiful or nice or sweet or anything like that. It's just in the context of the greatness. So so we see is when you're dealing on world religions, that those who are a little bit more thoughtful, then they appreciate the personal aspect. But it's the personal aspect, how he's God, how he's the controller, how he's this. It's not how he as a person is engaged in his own pastimes with his own devotees. You know what I'm saying? Because going to heaven means yourself, you're going to go there and hang out there, and it's a great place to be. You understand? So they're dealing with the Lord, and through their devotion, then they're realizing to some degree. Like that. But they're not getting to this Bhagavan platform of understanding. Because when Krishna comes like the Yadus, they see him as Paramatma. He's a person, they're interacting and everything like that. Because it's about him being God. That's what we're making the difference here. But because we're talking about the paths of knowledge and yoga, then they're only going up to this much, because that's all the more they want. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not based on a monotheistic element. It may have that aspect to it, because they're getting from the Veda, but they're not fully understanding it. Does that make sense? You know, so that's why we appreciate that others are approaching the Lord, they have an affection for the Lord, and that's good. But there's only one God, right? And so if there's only one God, they have to be worshipping the same person. Just that their approach is going to be different. According to the language, according to the situation that they're in, and, you know, whatever it is, the other values, what they eat, what all these things. And so then that will take on a particular flavor. And so then in their place of worship, if we happen to be there, then we're going to know they're worshiping Krishna in their way. You know, we're going to worship in our own way. It's not that, oh, it's all the same, so I can do this, I can do that. Why would you do like that? You know, it's just like in every family, there's the father, the mother, the children. They have the nice interaction. They have all that. So then, since they're all the same, it doesn't matter which family I hang out in. But you're supposed to be at home with your family. But you can appreciate that, yes, see these parents and they're taking care of the children. They all have nice affection. You can appreciate that, but it doesn't mean you're going to hang out in their family. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we can appreciate, but it doesn't mean it distracts us from our position. Right? And the whole point is like this, if you look at the history, you know, since how long ago was Muhammad?
1500 years.
It's been that long.
1500.
Means in 1500s, or it's been 1,500 years.
Yeah.
Really, he was like in 500. Which century? Second. Seventh. Oh, okay. Seventh, wasn't that also? No, Mud was ninth. Shankar was seventh, wasn't it?
Shankar was eighth.
Okay. Yeah. So, how many in the history have that kind of appreciation? You know what I'm saying? Out of all the great saintly persons, how many have that appreciation and discuss that? Right? It'll be a handful. Same in Christianity. There's a two or three that have that kind of mood. And sometimes they borderline on getting, kicked out. You know. Does that make sense? So that's because, so it's not that you can talk about love for God and pure love for God. And generally anyone within the Abrahamic tradition will not have a problem. But the difficulty is they generally focus on karma or jnana. They're not interested in pure bhakti. So it's not that they couldn't have that understanding and practice with that attitude. It's just generally speaking, that's not why people turn to religion. They turn to religion to make their life, their material life better. Or to get away from material life, and then that's better. But very few are talking about actually, you know, personally having a relationship with God and serving in that capacity. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just that, it's not that it can't be discussed, in that, so it's not that they couldn't improve their own devotion by understanding these principles of bhakti. But they tend to not be so inclined. You know, you don't want too much. You know, it's just like they're taking that, you know, we're not fanatic Prabhu to more of an extreme. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. Those who are fond of mental speculation, jnana marga, or want to meditate in mystic yoga, who find the absolute, must approach the impersonal effulgence of the Lord and his partial representation respectively. Such persons cannot realize the eternal form of the Lord. So they're not going to that point. So you see, as they explain him as God and he's a person and he's wonderful. But whether they take it farther, that's another thing. So that will be something very rare. So even if someone does, great. But the point is the whole process they're following is not focusing on that specifically. Like we see is here in the Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Nectar Devotion, they're pointing out what is pure devotion and how to avoid anything else. And if you're on whatever position you're on, take that and try to emphasize that pure aspect, connecting it to Krishna, and try to bring it to that perfectional platform. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just different levels in education. Right, so when it says here postgraduate study, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's meaning in transcendental understanding. But at the same time as these things, even someone in a postgraduate level wouldn't understand at all, either. So it also works on their level. Yeah. Text 27:29. Thus one may understand the glories of the Lord through different modes of worship, as the example of the sun illustrates. Narayan and Sri Krishna are the same personality of Godhead, but although they are identical, their bodily features are different, right? Because that's what I think that'll all be technically explained later. Right? We were discussing before, Krishna has his form, and then there's ones that have that are exactly the same, and it's the same mood, and then there's ones that have the same features, but slightly different aspect, and then there's ones that have different features. So all, but at the same time, is they are identical. They're all one. This personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has two hands and holds a flute, whereas other, Narayan, has four hands with conch, wheel, mace, and lotus. Srila Prabhupada, Narayan is identical to Sri Krishna. They are in fact the same person manifested differently, like a high court judge who is differently situated in his office and at home. As Narayana, the Lord is manifested with four hands, but as Krishna is manifested with two hands. Right? Very easy to run court if you have four hands. You know, one for the gavel and the other two to, you know, grab the guy and tell him, be quiet. So you see in that mood there is that we're trying to establish something specific. You don't get distracted. Like the example is given there, the sun and moon. So he's pointing out that the demigods can know the Lord because of their qualification. The humans can't. So in here, to make something so you have that reference, then he says they may go to the moon. It doesn't mean that these guys went to the moon, but you can go to the moon.
Yes.
You know, through the meditation process. That's what Prabhupada has, that book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Yes. But he's not going to get into that aspect because that's not the point being discussed. And just by saying that, then people are, oh, yeah, okay. And then they can see the example. Just like you can go there, the demigods, they can, but they can see through the sun because of their qualification of the body they have. Mm-hmm. Right? Text 30. O Lord of Lords, you are the seer of all creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. You are not, therefore, my father. Are you not, therefore, my father, Narayana? Narayana refers to one whose abode is in the water born from Nara, Garbhodaksha Vishnu. And that Narayana is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental. They are absolute and not creations of Maya. Srila Prabhupada. This statement, which is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.14, was spoken by Lord Brahma in his prayers to Lord Krishna after the Lord had defeated him by displaying his mystic powers. Brahma had tried to test Lord Krishna to see if he were really the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing as a cowherd boy. Brahma stole all the other boys and their calves from the pasturing grounds, but when he returned to the pastures, he saw that all the calves and boys were still there. For Lord Krishna had created them all again. When Brahma saw this mystic power of Lord Krishna's, he admitted defeat and offered prayers to the Lord, addressing him as the proprietor and seer of everything in the creation, and as the supersoul who is within each and every living entity and is dear to all. That Lord Krishna is Narayana, the father of Brahma. Because Lord Krishna's plenary expansion, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, after placing himself on the Garbha ocean, created Brahma from his own body. Mahavishnu in the causal ocean and Kirudaksha Vishnu, the supersoul in everyone's heart, are also transcendental expansions of the Supreme Truth. Priti. Verses 31 to 58 are Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami's elaboration on verse 30, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.14, quoted above. Right, so now he'll expand on this verse that we just had.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Jiva Goswami also uses this section for establishing as Krishna as the source of all the incarnations.
Okay.
The medium-sized form, Krishna, is the source of the whole creation.
That's in Bhagavad?
That's in Bhagavad-sambhava.
Bhagavad-sambhava. Okay.
So this section.
Okay, so it's an important section. Okay. After Brahma had offended Krishna by stealing his playmates and calves, he begged the Lord's pardon for his offensive act and prayed for the Lord's mercy. Quote, I took birth from the lotus that grew from your navel. Thus you are both my father and my mother, and I am your son. Parents never take seriously the offenses of their children. I therefore beg your pardon and ask for your benediction. Sri Krishna said, O Brahma, your father is Narayana, but I am a cowherd. I am but a cowherd boy. How can you be my son? Brahma replied, Are you not Narayana? You are certainly Narayana. Please listen as I state proofs. All the living entities within the material and spiritual worlds are ultimately born of you, for you are the super soul of them all. Verses 31 to 36. Srila Prabhupada. The cause of manifestation is generated by the interaction of the three modes of material nature. The transcendental world has no such material modes, although it is nevertheless full of spiritual variegatedness, right? Because here, it's the modes that create the variegatedness, right? The different combination of the mode creates all the combination, all the species of life. Yeah. So then one may ask, oh, okay, so if there's no modes, then that then would establish that it's all just one thing, it's all impersonal. Yeah. But no, it says, he has no modes, nevertheless it is full of spiritual variegatedness. So it does all that without the modes of nature. In that spiritual world, there are also innumerable living entities who are eternally liberated souls engaged in transcendental loving service to Lord Krishna. The conditioned souls who remain within the material cosmic creation are subjected to the threefold miseries and pangs of material nature. They exist in different species of life because they are eternally averse to transcendental loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. Right? So unless they come in contact with the bona fide spiritual master and take up with faith that process, then only they give up this eternal aversion to the Lord. Sankarsana is the original source of all living entities because they are all emanations of his marginal potency. Some of them are conditioned by material nature, whereas others are under the protection of the spiritual nature. The material nature is a conditional manifestation of spiritual nature, just as smoke is a conditioned stage of fire. Smoke is dependent on fire, but in a blazing fire there is no place for smoke. Smoke disturbs, but fire serves. The serving spirit of the residents of the transcendental world is displayed in five varieties of relationships with the Supreme Lord, who is the central enjoyer. In the material world, everyone is a self-centered enjoyer of mundane happiness and distress. One considers himself just a matter of the identity, how far you extend that identity. If it's just yourself, then you're just about your own senses. If then it's about family or community, or then you extend to them. But it's still about your being happy at this sense gratification. Right? That's the basis, right? One considers himself the lord of everything and tries to enjoy the illusory energy. But he is not successful because he is not independent. But he is a minute particle of the energy of Lord Sankarsana. All living entities exist under the control of the Supreme Lord, who is therefore called Narayana. So, yes, no? Okay, so, would you go for that one or leave it? See, here's that Prabhupada's pointing out is Sankarsana is the original source of all living entities. Right? Because sometimes people get into this thing of where I'm from because it's a matter of prestige, right? You know, if I'm from here, then it's more prestigious if I'm from there and this and that. He's the source of all because they're expansions of the marginal potency. But the point is where they take shelter, that's where they're identified. Does that make sense? Where they're practically applied. In Tattva, they're all going to be coming from here. But then when you apply it, right? Does that make sense? Then you may say that, you know, from Balaram or from Kiridaksha or this or that, or whatever it is, whatever is the options that are there. And people get, you know, really worried about that because they want to be a superior quality than everybody else, of course. Yeah. But the point is that is where the energy comes from. That's where they're related. But you see, it's like, as Lord Brahma has stated, that he's saying the cowherd boy Krishna as his father. Does that make sense? So why wouldn't it go any of these directions? It's the same person. When we make too much distinction between Krishna's expansions, then this problem comes up. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, it's not a problem in that way. You can explain it through the understanding of the one's realization and all these aspects. Because the point is unless you're acting in that capacity, how can you say you're from that position? You know, does that make sense? Just like, let's say, someone's from a very, you know, respected family, but they're behaving in a way that's not respectable. So it's hard to say they're from that family. You know what I'm saying? No one will identify them like that. They'll identify them how they're behaving. Right? That's the one thing. And second thing, if you want to, say, establish yourself on this higher level, how does that work in relationship to Krishna and Braj? Right? Does that make sense? The saying, I'm actually expanding from Balaram. How does that help your relationship with Krishna? Right? Someone's in a parental rasa, but they're from Balaram, and then Balaram is Krishna's brother. How does that work? Why do you care? You know, or even better, you know, coming from Balaram, and then you're in a conjugal relationship with Krishna. So then Krishna's out walking with his father, your father, but then, you know, why bother with these things? You just know that the living entities are from the Tathasta Shakti, that's coming from Sankarsana. Right? So we're coming from that Chit aspect, right? Because Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So the Sat, that's the Icha Shakti, that's Ladini, that's taken care of there. Then the Kriya and the Jnana, then Kriya, that's Balaram. Right, he takes care of that, so he's known as Sankarsana. So depending on the feature, you're taking part in that. So that's where the Tathasta Shakti comes from. Does that make sense? So it's just, that's just the facts. But it's what you do with the facts that matters. It's not the fact. If you're basing one's whole position simply on the facts only, then where does relationship and rasa and all those things? That's the important aspect. Tattva is simply so. When we don't understand the relationship with Krishna, Tattva explains it very nicely. And it should also be that we don't have any difficulty between the two. Right? There's no contradictions. Does that make sense? So there's not a problem. Yeah?
Some use it as an excuse that we're here in the material world. Because we didn't come from Balaram, neither from Sankarsana, but then we came from Karanadakshaya.
But here Prabhupada says Sankarsana is the original source, because Karanadakshaya Vishnu is coming from there. And who does Mahanarayan come from? Yeah, so I'm saying this, he's Sankarsana. And then the original Chaturvyuha is Sankarsana, and from that original Chaturvyuha comes Mahavishnu. So what does it matter? Yeah, that's the whole point. It doesn't matter. Point is that's our position. So as Tathasta means, then we're marginal, means we're in that position of serving. The Kriya means the service. So that means we're instruments. We're always going to be instruments. So it establishes our position. And then in that position as instrument, then you can do so many things. Because, let's say Balaram is walking along at Govardhan. Okay? If he sees some, golden stones, what does he do? He goes a different direction, because that means Radharani went that way, and as the elder brother, he doesn't come around where Radha and Krishna are together. Right? So you want to push the point we're from Balaram? Otherwise, then you should be heading off with him. That makes sense. So that's the whole point, is that why get into these things? Does that make sense? Yeah. Rama continued. As the earth is the original cause and shelter of all pots made of earth, so you are the ultimate cause and shelter of all living beings. Right, that's the point. It goes back to, and Sankarsana is coming from Krishna, Srila Prabhupada. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.10. where the Lord prays, Bijam Maha Sarva Bhutanam, I am the seed of all living entities. And in the Upanishads, Tattva Upanishad 2.2.13, which say, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, the Lord is the supreme leader among all the eternal living beings. Then 38-46, Brahma continued. The word Nara refers to the aggregate of all the living beings, and the word Ayana refers to the refuge of them all. You are therefore the original Narayana, right? So Narayana means he's the refuge of all living entities. You are therefore the original Narayana, right? So he's saying that he's all living entities are taking shelter of Narayana, and Krishna is the original source of Narayana. This is one reason. Please listen as I state the second. So that's one reason how, you know, he, even though he's a cowherd boy, he's still his father. The direct lords of the living beings are the Purusha incarnations. But your opulence and power are more exalted than theirs. Therefore, you, the primeval lord, the original father of everyone. They, the Purushas, are protectors of the universe by your power, since you protect those who are shelterless of all living entities. Why would I be called by the airline? Hello? Yes. Yes. Maybe a little later, because right now I'm in the middle of a class. So, yes, so try tomorrow at an earlier time. Thank you. Thank you. Never had that. Okay. Since you protect those who are the shelters of all living beings, you're the original Narayana. So he's giving shelter to those who give shelter to all living entities. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, kindly hear my third reason. There are countless universes and fathomless transcendental Vaikunthas, both in this material world and in the transcendental world. You see all the deeds of all living beings, in the past, present, and future. Since you are the witness of all such deeds, you know the essence of everything. All the worlds exist because you oversee them. None can live, move, or have their being without your supervision. You oversee the wanderings of all living beings. For this reason also, you are the primeval Lord, Narayana. Right? Because he oversees everybody. So that then puts him in that position. He's the source of those who give shelter. He's the one that oversees, sees all the living entities everywhere. Right? So he's just going, because Krishna's asked, but I'm just a cowherd boy. Why are you saying? Krishna said, Brahma, I cannot understand what you are saying. Lord Narayana is he who sits in the hearts of all living beings and lies down in the waters of the Karna ocean, right? Because he's heard all this, you know, from his father and from the other, you know, the Brahmins and like this. And so he's saying, what do you think? I don't understand this because Narayana is this person. Brahma replied, what I have said is true. The same Lord Narayana who lives on the waters and in the hearts of all living beings is but a plenary portion of you. The Karanadakshai, Garbhadakshai, and Kiradakshai forms of Narayana all create in cooperation with material energy. In this way, they are attached to Maya. These three Vishnus lying in the water are the supersoul of everything. The supersoul of all the universes is known as the first Purusha, Karanadakshai Vishnu. Garbhadakshai Vishnu is the supersoul of the aggregate gaggregate of living entities. Supersoul of all the universes is known as the first Purusha, Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is the supersoul of the aggregate of living entities, and Kiradakshaya Vishnu is the supersoul of each individual living entity. Right? So that's why you have both of them are the Paramatma, but in different features. So one is the universal form, and the one who's entered into the heart. Because all the aggregate living entities fit within the Lord's creation. And so in this way, he's the super soul of that aspect, but at the same time, then he expands his Kurudaksha to enter into the heart of each living entity. And that you have all the universes and that primary aspect, that's Karanadaksha. Does that make sense? So all the universes, he's the super soul of the Mahatattva. Then Garbhadakshaya will be of the particular universe that has all the living entities, and Kiradakshaya of the particular individual living entity. Does that make sense? But by bringing it this way, if you just say the universe, it doesn't necessarily bring out all living entities. So the aggregate total of all the living entities, then Garbhadakshaya is the supersoul of that aspect. Because they all will function within that universal form. Superficially, we see that these Purushas have a relationship with Maya. But above them, in the fourth dimension, is Lord Krishna, who has no contact with the material energy. Right? That's that one point where we're bringing out, there's a term for that, that we said that Rupa Goswami mentions in Lagu Bhagavatamrita. And that we haven't come across it, the word again. But he's saying that this aspect of superficially having that connection with Maya, that's there in Balaram, but unmanifest. Then his expansion to Mahanarayan is there, but not manifest. Then as he expands as the Chaturvyuha, and then as Shankarshana, then he also has that. But it's only at Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Karanadakshaya Vishnu, and then the Purusha avatars, that and then you see it manifest. Right? Because if it's not there in Balaram, then how would it be in the Purusha avatars? Does that make sense? So that's the point. He takes on that, and then the creation of the Vaikunthas in the material world, and Krishna can just enjoy in Braj. Right? So makes sense. Okay. So that's why then we always say Narayan is in the position of Turiya, the fourth dimension. Srila Prabhupada. The three Purushas, Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Kiradakshaya Vishnu, all have a relationship with the material energy called Maya. Because through Maya they create the material cosmos. These three Purushas, who lie on the Karana, Garbha, and Kshira oceans, respectively, are the supersoul of everything that be. Karanadakshaya Vishnu is the supersoul of the collective universes. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is the supersoul of the collective living entities. And Kiradakshaya Vishnu is the supersoul of all individual entities. Because all of them are somehow attracted to the affairs of material energy, they can be said to have some affection for Maya. But the transcendental position of Sri Krishna himself is not even slightly tinged by Maya. His transcendental state is called Turiya, or the fourth dimensional stage. So, the Lord is the reservoir of all cosmic manifestations, animate and inanimate. The advocates of Vishishta Dvaitvada philosophy explain the Vedanta Sutra by saying that although the living entity has two kinds of bodies, subtle, consisting of mind, intelligence and false ego, and gross, consisting of the five basic elements, and although he thus lives in three bodily dimensions, gross, subtle, and spiritual, he is nevertheless the spiritual soul. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who emanates the material and spiritual worlds, is the Supreme Spirit. As an individual spirit soul is almost identical to his gross and subtle bodies, so the Supreme Lord is almost identical to the material and spiritual worlds. The material world, full of conditioned souls trying to lord it over matter, is a manifestation of the external energy of the Supreme Lord. And the spiritual world, full of perfect servitors of the Lord, is a manifestation of his internal energy. Since all living entities are minute sparks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Supreme Soul in both the material and spiritual worlds. The Vaishnavas, following Lord Chaitanya, stress the doctrine of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. which states that the Supreme Lord, being the cause and effect of everything, is inconceivably, simultaneously, one with his manifestations of energy and different from them. Right? So there's the thing, he is, but at the same time he's different. So we see that connection with everything that we see in that. That's as Brahman and Paramatma. And then as Bhagavan, he's different. Then text 53. In the material world, the Lord is designated as Virat, Hiranyagarbha, and Karna. But beyond these three designations, the Lord is ultimately in the fourth dimension. Right? So here's another aspect of that. Hiranyagarbha, Virat, Hiranyagarbha, and Karna. There's also then three aspects of the four dimensions. Right? So for us, then it's the waking, deep sleep, awake, sleep, dreaming, and deep sleep. Then the fourth, the transcendental position. But we see those must be based on Virat, Hiranyagarbha, and Karna. Srila Prabhupada. Virat, the phenomenal manifestation of the Supreme Whole. Hiranyagarbha, the numinous soul of everything. And Karna, the cause or causal nature, are all but designations of the Purushas who are responsible for material creation. Right? And you can move Karna, we generally always see is used for Karana Daksha, Vishnu Mahavishnu. But Hiranyagarbha can be used in this case for what do you call it? For Garbha Daksha, but it appears here the numinous. What does it mean here? Numinous? What does that mean?
Numinous means that it cannot be beyond what can be
received. So here's the numinous soul of everything, that would be Kiradakshai, or because the phenomenal manifestation means then how everything here is the Lord. So generally that's Garbhadakshai Vishnu. He's known as also Virat, but he's also known as Hiranyagarbha because he's created. Just like Mahavishnu also has that aspect of Hiranyagarbha. Right, so then, therefore, when he brings out all the golden eggs, they're all called Hiranyagarbha. Mm-hmm. The transcendental position surpasses these designations, therefore called the position of the fourth dimension. This is a quotation from Sridhar Swami's commentary on the 11th canto, 15th chapter, verse 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's bringing this out. So if they're of the fourth dimension, then that means that the three, because in Karana Dakshai Vishnu, then everybody is deep sleep. Right? And then with Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, then in the Virat, then in the universal form, then they're in that dream state where they think I'm this and that and all those things. Then if you're meditating on the super soul, then you're actually awake. Yeah, so. Because these things can't happen without the Lord, so it's not that there's something separate. So then you're saying beyond this, because they're the Purushas dealing in this place, then beyond where there isn't the mode, where isn't any of this, that's the spiritual world. This is that Turiya. Okay. Brahma continued. Although these three features of the Lord deal directly with the material energy, none of them are touched by it. That's the important aspect. Because then we see in these others, they'll say they're dealing with it, and so they're overcome by it. But the point is they're dealing with it, but it's not, they're in control of it. That's the aspect of Vyasadeva's trance. Because otherwise, then we see here is that the Mayavadi concept, that when Brahman suddenly becomes covered by, avidya, then you get the soul. Then they produce Maya by their contemplation of this avidya. And then that Maya, then that has both the jnana and ajnana shaktis. And so then the jivas are covered by the ajnana aspect. But then when Brahman now takes on the feature of this and becomes covered by this, then it becomes Ishwar. Right? That doesn't seem to suddenly happen. It seems to just freely take that one out. Yeah. So then what, so the difficulty comes up is that he's beyond that. So he's, even though he's working with the material energy, he is not in any way controlled by it. So he, it, this process can't be how it works. They're just trying to explain how Vishnu's involved, and it seems that all the scriptures talk about him, so they somehow or another do need to include him in their philosophy. Okay. Okay. None of them are touched by it. They are beyond illusion. This is the opulence of the Lord. Although situated in the material nature, he is never affected by the modes of nature. Similarly, those who have surrendered to him and fixed their intelligence upon him are not influenced by the modes of nature. Right? So just as he's not influenced by the modes, someone who then meditates on him is not influenced by the modes. Srila Prabhupada. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.38. Those who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead do not identify with the material world, even while living in it. That's important. You don't identify. You know what you're... Just like to walk on the ground efficiently, do I need to identify with the floor? No. What if I do identify with the floor? Is it going to be easier to walk on the floor or harder? Right. So the whole point is the devotee, he more effectively moves in the world and does all the things he does because he doesn't identify with it. He simply identifies as Krishna's servant. This is Krishna's energy. He engages Krishna's energy in Krishna's service. The energy acts according to Krishna's laws, and then he, in line with that, applies those laws in working with the material energy to serve and please Krishna. So that's the thing. When we identify with it, already you're defeated. This whole thing, oh, we're Westerners, we can't do these things. That's already, then you're mundane. You know, what's the difference between you and a rock? You know? So if you say we're conscious, then, but who's we? Right? We means the soul, not the body. It's the body that's American, not the soul. If your soul's American, you got a problem. Right? Because there's three, how you say, according to the ancient texts and that, there's three categories of American souls. Like this. You know, going from the tattva bodies here, right? There's the good, there's the bad, and there's the ugly. Yes? Okay. Yes. And so that's the thing, is that it doesn't, that they're not controlled by this. Tattvavadis may say this, so they might agree with this, but it's not our philosophy. Because they'll say there's souls that are in the mode of ignorance. They're just, that's how they are. So only souls in the mode of goodness come to spiritual life, and they're going to do that anyway. You don't need to preach. Right, so that's why they don't really appreciate Lord Chaitanya, because he's come to preach. Right? Yeah. That's the problem. So it's not our philosophy in any way, shape, or form. You know, I mean, this is just giving a little bit. Okay, you could say it's within this offshoot of the Madhva Sampradaya, but it's not spiritual. Lord Chaitanya avoided them because of their lack of spiritual understanding. And that's on a good day, you know, like that. Otherwise, it's just Monday. Pure devotees may deal with the three modes of material nature, but because of their transcendental intelligence and Krishna consciousness, they're not influenced by the material qualities, right? You're working with the material nature. You have to work with the modes. But you're not influenced by the modes. It's just this thing works by that mode. Right, I'm cutting up the potatoes. That's the mode of ignorance, right? Because I'm destroying the form of the potato. Then I'm cooking it into something. I'm transforming it. I'm using the mode of passion. But I'm doing it without attachment. That's the mode of goodness. Right? But you're working with that to please Krishna. So you're on the platform of Turiya. So you're not working within the modes. You're working with the modes, but you're not under the modes. Is that... Work. And just an explanation, this same example applies with cauliflowers, zucchini, pumpkins, everything. It just doesn't apply with durian. That's the only one it doesn't apply with. Right? Brahma continued. You are the ultimate shelter of these three plenary portions. Thus, there is not the slightest doubt that you are the primeval Narayana. Right? Because Narayana is there, but he's the primeval Narayana. Srila Prabhupada. Brahma has confirmed that Lord Krishna is the supreme, the source of the three manifestations known as Kiru Dakshai Vishnu, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, and Karana Dakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu. For his pastimes, Lord Krishna has four original manifestations, namely Vasudev, Sankarsana, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. The first Purusha avatar, Mahavishnu, in the causal ocean, who is the creator of the aggregate material energy, is an expansion of Sankarsana. The second Purusha, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, is an expansion of Prajumna. And the third Purusha, Kiradaksha Vishnu, is an expansion of Aniruddha. All these are within the category of manifestations of Narayana, who is a manifestation of Sri Krishna. So they're expanding from him, and he's coming from. So Krishna, then you have Narayana, and then you have the other members of the Purusha avatars, who then are the, of the Chaturvyuha, there are the Purusha avatars. Brahma concluded, the source of these three features is Narayana in the spiritual sky. He is your vilas expansion, therefore you are the ultimate Narayana. Therefore, according to the authority of Brahma, the Narayana, who is the predominating deity in the transcendental world, is but the vilas feature of Krishna. This has now been conclusively proved. The truth indicated in this verse, text 30, is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, footnote 11. The verse referred to herein is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.14. O Lord of Lords, you are the seer of all creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. Are you not therefore my father, Narayana? Narayana refers to one whose abode is in the water, born from Nara, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and that Narayana is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental. They are absolute and are not creations of Maya. This conclusion, through synonyms, applies everywhere. Right, so he's just saying it goes across. Don't go, oh, what about this one? Does that make sense? Yeah. Not knowing that Brahman, Paramatman, and Bhagavan are all features of Krishna, foolish scholars speculate in various ways. Because Narayana has four hands, whereas Krishna looks like a man, they say that Narayana is the original God, whereas Krishna is an expansion. Right? But it doesn't have to go that way, because if you have, you start with two, then you go into four, then you go into like that, you know, so you don't have to go the other way. Does that make sense? Yeah. They say that Narayana is the original God, whereas Krishna is but an incarnation. In this way, their arguments appear in various forms, but the poetry of the Bhagavatam expertly refutes them all. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say that it is non-dual knowledge and is called impersonal Brahman, the localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead. Footnote 12. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. My dear brothers, kindly listen to the explanation of this verse and consider its meaning. The one original entity is known in his three different features. Lord Krishna himself is the one undivided absolute truth, the ultimate reality. He manifests himself in three features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Yes.
Realization, or is
it? Well, he's quoting all the different verses.
He's giving explanation of the 14th verse, but the conversation is.
Yeah, but didn't you notice he's quoting other verses? In there, you see, he's in the part that he's saying, do you not see quotation marks? It says here, this verse is from 1:11:38. Right? And that, and then the other one, and then he's giving. So he's quoting from the different places.
Yeah.
And showing that.
So
right?
It's a literal thing. Because some other places, Acharya says that Lord Krishna did not interact with Brahman while he was begging forgiveness. There are no demonstrations.
Yeah, he's not interacting. But the point is, okay, what do you want from this? Where do you want to take this? What is the doubt? What is your particular, what do you call it? To, or kin to, or whatever it is. And so, so let's say he is, then where do you take this? Now what do you do?
Just want to know.
And then what are you going to do with this just want to know? What's the benefit of this just want to know? It's just like, what about what size shoes, Modi wears? You know, it's something that, yeah, interesting, just like to know. And then once you get it, you're going to do anything? You're going to go out and buy some shoes? Or... So what are you going to do with this knowledge? Means manana means you use knowledge. You apply knowledge. Then you get realization. So just wanting to know, then, hey, that's what Wikipedia is for. Okay. Now, since we don't have an answer here, then let's go back. And then, what if he has realization of this and all that? And so now, what do you do with that?
I was asking Maharaj because sometimes for writing something like a sentence.
Start with, it means how you say, it's like Shankaracharya has, is saying. First have four heads, then you write. No? Also not getting anywhere? Just leave it? Yeah, we'll leave it. The point is what does it matter? Are you... If it's just a literary thing, why would you want to use that? Because you have a doubt about Lord Brahma in this. You don't think everybody else on the planet wouldn't have a doubt about you? Or you're so much greater at literary embellishments and all that than Brahma or Krishna's Kaviraj. So automatically everyone's just going to, you know, just automatically accept the authority. There's this thing. It's a funny object. It's kind of gray and lumpy and all that. And it's the thing that the mind and intelligence and false ego and the consciousness use as the mechanical element to actually apply the rational process. Right? You should use it. Right? So that means, for you to use this as a literary embellishment of yourself, why would you? Unless you're on the level of Brahma or Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Acharyas who do use it, why would you use it? We don't see Prabhupada using it. Right? So why would you use it? Right? If he is seeing these things, you're not on that platform either, so that wouldn't apply either. Right? So from both sides of the pond, either or either, it doesn't work. Okay? Yes. So in other words, the point that I meant before about the speculation and all that, it's not actually that glorious. Right? And if you encourage others to speculate, they won't surrender to Krishna. They may appreciate your speculation, but they won't surrender. Okay, good. Okay. My dear brothers, kindly listen to the explanation of this verse and consider its meaning. The one original entity is known in his three different features. Lord Krishna himself is the one undivided absolute truth, the ultimate reality. He manifests himself in three features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Srila Prabhupada. In the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam cited above, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, the principal word, Bhagavan, indicates the personality of Godhead. And Brahman and Paramatma are concomitants deduced from the absolute personality, as a government and its ministers are deductions from the supreme executive head. In other words, the principal truth is exhibited in three different phases. The absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan, is also known as Brahman and Paramatma, although all these features are identical. Right? So it says here, they, you know, the ministers, the government, and all that. Yeah. Through all these features, they're identical, because they're talking about the same person. But it's still the person that you're talking about. Right? Just because he's Brahman doesn't mean he's not a person. Or, if you want to put it that way, but that includes the personal. But on the transcendental, if they're identical, that means they're all transcendental. So then, even if one only appreciates the impersonal, one would have to appreciate the personal also as transcendental. So if it's between the personal and the impersonal, both are transcendental, which one's more attractive? Right, the personal. So it's something you can think about, something you can get. Yeah. So we can understand is the impersonal simply meaning the expansion, generic expansion of the glories. Those would be based on the applied glories. So the applied glories would be the original, then from that would go out. Like the person is glorious, then people talk about them in the newspaper. The newspaper, that even though it's more very voluminous, is coming from the original person. Right. So, the import of, text 66, the import of this verse is to stop you from arguing. Now listen to another verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Srila Prabhupada, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam 1-28 definitely negates the concept that Sri Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu or Narayana. Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, the supreme cause of all causes. This verse clearly indicates that incarnations of the personality of Godhead, such as Sri Rama, Nrisimha, and Varaha, are all undoubtedly belong to the Vishnu group. But all of them are either plenary portions or portions of plenary portions of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Right? So all these things need to be established. You could say, oh, well, this is all technical stuff, you know? But the point is, then how do you understand and appreciate Lord Chaitanya, his position as that original Krishna? Right? He's the original personality of Godhead. So it has to be understood. So that means all other aspects of Godhead are included. So that means all other aspects of the Vedas and religion and the philosophies are all included in him. So that's the goal and the perfection of them. Does that make sense? So then it's important to establish. Otherwise then, yes, we'll appreciate the pastimes and all that, but how seriously necessarily will we take it? You know? Like Lord Chaitanya and his associates, do they interact with each other nicely? Right? Do they have, you know, a very refined social, how you say, community. Right? But, having said that, how many people take shelter of modern morality and ethics as a way of that, this is how we're going to improve the movement? You understand? That means they don't understand Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. Everything's coming from him. So, what they're talking about is we're talking about down to these Vishnus. Then from them is expanding their internal potency, Rama, then who it transforms as Maya. Maya then to the modes then does all this, and then under these modes, these things are here. And so that's going to make the whole process work? Because I figured out finally that you got to be a nice guy? And that's now going to make all the Purusha avatars and everything perfect? That's why it needs to be understood. He's the origin. Everything's coming from him. So when you say that, that means he's the origin of everything. So taking shelter of him means everything then is accomplished. So, yes.
This verse, 1328, this is the basis of Krishna Sandarbha, and the previous verse is the basis of the whole Bhagavad Sandarbha.
Oh, okay. Nice. They take different verses. We see the acharyas a lot of times, they take one verse, like from the Nectar of Devotion, they take one verse and then make a whole book out of it. And that means, that's because there's so much. So it means you could do that with every verse of the Bhagavatam, but, you know, we don't have enough time. So they pick major ones that are of that importance. Really? So each of the Sandarbhas has a central verse like that? And you know those verses?
This Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shapade, that is the central verse for the Bhagavad Sandarbha, because both Brahman and Paramatma are seen in the light of Bhagavan.
Yes.
And then Ete Chanta Kalapuntam Krishna's the Bhagavan say, and that's how Krishna is the origin of.
And that's from which Sandarbha?
Krishna Sandarbha.
Krishna Sandarbha. And then is there a verse for the Paramatma?
Paramatma Sandarbha.
Okay. Yes.
I think Latin Bhagavatamrita also based on that verse.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then they're just showing how it all goes up to Krishna and then the Dhams and everything. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so these are our central points. And you see, that's also how you see is that they're just saying Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, and then these will be the central points of, because the Sandarbhas, you see, as has been pointed out, has it already been explained or it's coming up about the Dasamul?
Here?
No, not in here. In the Tattva Sandarbha, it explains it according to Dasamul. Yes. So it means you'll see is that Dasamul Tattva is given there. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur has brought it out and shown. But all the acharyas there speaking on that. Lord Chaitanya is speaking on that. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur then crystallized it for us so that, like you say, we with our pumpkin heads can understand and appreciate. Plus, it's, you know, it's the glories of the Lord, so the 31st is coming up, right? You know, so. Yes. So therefore, these Sandarbhas are representing the different aspects of Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, of the Dasa Mool, and including everything else. So then they're going to have these Bhagavatam verses. And that's going to be established on that. So those are the key verses of these different points of the Dasamul. Yes.
Whereas in this point of accepting Lord Chaitanya as the source of everything.
Yes.
One time we were in Sriranga and we went to the Murali Bhatta. He was one of the five main priests. And we asked permission for doing Harinam inside the complex. And he mentioned, he was really convinced. He was saying that he believes that, he said, you can do as much as you want.
Aren't they the ones that take care of that Jagannath temple?
He also take care of Jagannath temple and the house of Venkatabhata.
Yes, there. Yes. So, I mean, he's the present Pujari living there.
Yeah, okay. But he's also one of the five main pujaris of Ranganath.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was very convinced, saying, you know, this process that you follow is the highest process. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, for years I was thinking, so why he doesn't change his practice or his...
Okay, nice then. Sorry.
And it happens also there, when I went there, I was in a Gurukul. I was chanting japa, and one boy was showing me the Gurukul there.
Oh, in Sri Rangam.
Yeah, and he asked about the japa. And I asked, he said, we cannot chant here, only, I don't remember, Rig Veda or whatever Veda he said. Then I gave him one japa. Then another big boy was coming, he was hiding his japa. And I asked, why are you hiding? He said, because we are... So I was thinking, if I did it wrong, giving him the japa, you know, because they have that culture.
Because he wants to chant. The point is that it doesn't mean that one's connection and that changes. Like Baladev Vidyabhushan, he's initiated in the Madhva line. He practices, you know, under Lord Chaitanya and his associates. But he doesn't have to change his initiation in that, because it's a bona fide Vaishnava diksha. You don't have to change that. So he's there and he's the process. But you have to see what's his ultimate goal. Because he's Baladev, then he appreciated and wanted to worship Krishna and Braj and come to that understanding. But just because they see that Lord Chaitanya is the highest in his process doesn't mean that they're not interested in Vaikuntha. So if he's still interested in Vaikuntha, by his service to Lord Chaitanya, he'll get there quicker than anybody else there does. Right? Because we see in Chaitanya Lila that there are many who are Vaikuntha, you know, how you say, vasis. It's from there they go to Vaikuntha or to Ayodhya or different places. They don't have a problem because everybody is in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. So it's not a problem. Yes.
Like Gopal Bhattacharya Goswami, he came and served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but his father, he remained where he is. He respected Lord Chaitanya as Supreme Lord, but he is very
So it's just that's there. And even doing that, they can still see his Lord Chaitanya and all that. Even if they're worshipping there, they can still see Krishna and Vrindavan and go there. Because Ranga is that same person, just as Brahma is seeing, you know, like that. Why wouldn't you see it that way? You can. It's just a little bit more easier if you're dealing the other way. It reminds you more, but if they're absorbed enough, it doesn't matter. Like that. So that's up to them and their position. Yeah.
Also, Pastor Maharaj, that Vedanta Desikar was coming in the Sri Sampradaya. One of his disciples joined Madhvacharya.
Okay.
So then his other godbrothers were all complaining, oh, no, how did he do this? Vedanta Desikar said, as long as he has joined Madhvacharya, so he had joined Shankaracharya, would have killed.
Then I would have. It's just a different flavor in that. It's just according to taste. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakura points out, is that by understanding a Chintaveda Veda Tattva, they'll be able to understand their own conclusions better. Like you said before, Srila Prabhupada, to make the point, he's quoting from Ramanujacharya. Like that, because he just has very nicely explained it. So why you wouldn't use that? But then the context in which you'll use it and apply it, then that will have our flavor. Yes.
So we can see that. Before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nobody appreciated or brought out Sridhar Swami as such a main Vaishnava Acharya, because they couldn't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of the level of what he's talking about. So you have these things. It's there, just like Jayadev, even that, being introduced into the temples and all that. That's from Lord Chaitanya. You know? So it's... Okay, then 68-70. The Bhagavatam describes the symptoms and deeds of the incarnations in general, and counts Sri Krishna among them. This made Sridhar Goswami greatly apprehensive. Therefore, he distinguished each incarnation by its specific symptoms. All the incarnations of Godhead are plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars, but the primeval Lord is Sri Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of all incarnations. Right, so they're counting all of them. They're going through, and then Krishna is there because it's him. But Sridhar Goswami, being apprehensive, he wants to make sure it's very clearly understood that Krishna is the fountainhead of all the others, even though he's counted in the incarnations. Right, because that's his pastimes. And so therefore then he's spoken the verse to establish that Krishna is the Lord. Riti. In verses 71-72, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami presents a hypothetical opposing argument, Purva Paksha, to his explanation of verse 67. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, which he gave in verses 68 to 70, and refutes said argument in verses 73 to 108. Okay. An opponent may say, this is your interpretation, but actually the Supreme Lord is Narayana, who is in the transcendental realm. He, Narayana, incarnates as Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of the verse as I see it. There's no need for further considerations, right? Because I saw it that way. You know, that's the thing. So you can see immediately as the opinion and this and that. That's why we're not worried about opinions. You know, all these things. Oh, so in your opinion, you know, what do you, you know, who cares? To such a misguided interpreter, we may reply. But see, here he's still establishing it within Vishnu. He's not a Mayavadi or a personalist. Just he's someone who only appreciates Vaikuntha as the highest realm, and everything else is expansions from there. To such a misguided interpreter, we may reply, look, why should you suggest such fallacious logic? An interpretation is never accepted as evidence if it opposes the principles of Scripture. One should not state a predicate before its subject, for it cannot thus stand without proper support. Footnote 13. This rhetorical rule applies in the Ekadasi Tattva, 13th canto, in connection with the metaphorical use of words. An unknown object should not be put before the known object, subject, because the object has no meaning if the subject is not first given. Right? So that's what you see is that we were talking before about these, how you're presenting something, like that. That we have the thing where you know, the logic, you say, this is what we're discussing, this is the reasons for discussing, and these I'm explaining then, you know, about it and how it could be seen and any doubts and that, and if you have doubts in the conversation, we'll deal with those. Then I'll bring it around to show all these things all come together like this, therefore it stands. Right? The other one is where you start talking about something that you don't know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? So then there's this, and then that one said that, and then there's this, and this one felt like this, and you don't know what they're talking about. So as far as discussion goes, you know, or logic goes, you don't use that system. You know what I'm saying? Because it just doesn't work. Yes?
This is also how nowadays people ask questions.
Yes.
They do a long introduction without asking the question.
Yes. But point is, you're supposed to ask the question, give the reason, then give their thing. That's why I always say it in one sentence. Because if they can't say it in one sentence, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, so, I mean, if it's just a feeling, so it's somehow or another stuck in nod. You know, and they can't get it, in, you know, up from the first chakra. It's just somehow or another stuck there. Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem. So you always have to kind of work on that, yeah. You have seats here all along the edge, and you just push the button, the seat. They go into the garden there, and the seat comes back. Right there. Next question? No, we're good. Yeah. Does that make sense? If I do not state a subject, I do not state a predicate. First I speak the former, and then I speak the latter. The predicate of a sentence is what is unknown to the reader, whereas the subject is what is known to him. Right? Because you always have to go from known to something else. You have to start with something. Because if I start with an unknown and I'm talking about an unknown, then there'll be nothing there. I start with a known. Then I start with the thing, and I'm trying to then show its comparison to the next thing. Does that make sense? That's what inference is doing. You're starting with a known object, or known objects, and then trying to compare. So, yes?
So can we say that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami here, in this long philosophical introduction, what he does, he establishes Krishna as an absolute truth, and then showing Mahaprabhu and Krishna equal. Is that
yes,
what he's trying
yes,
to
yes. because then you understand the position. So he's not just another avatar. He is the avatari. So therefore what he does is significant for anyone. Because if you're dealing with the Sankirtan movement, that means it's for everyone can take part. It means everybody has to be able to find their position within that. Otherwise it's, okay, he's here, but then we're doing this. As the avatari, that means any avatar coming from him, and then you're following that avatar, then it's already included in Lord Chaitanya. So his mission, his process, and that everybody can follow. So you know, and it works. They're able to do it nicely. So, the predicate of a sentence is what is unknown to the reader, whereas the subject is what is known to him. Is there another word for predicate or how to, or explanation? What makes the predicate a predicate?
It's what follows the noun. Whatever follows the noun is the predicate. You have the noun and the predicate.
Don't you love English? In Sanskrit, you can get, you know, very exact. That's the problem with English. They can't actually explain themselves. I think the only stuff, because noun and verb, they can basically explain, but it's expanded since when I was a kid. When I was a kid, a noun was a person, place, or thing. And now they added a few more onto it, you know, like a Q and a plus and, you know, all that. It just keeps growing, you know. So
I don't think that is a word.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. It doesn't have. So it's always something's compared to something and like that. Okay. For example, we may say, this vipra is a greatly learned man. In this sentence, the vipra is the subject and the predicate is his erudition. The man's being a vipra is known, but his erudition is unknown. Therefore, the person is identified first and his erudition later. In the same way, all these incarnations were known, but whose incarnation they are was unknown. First, the word ete, these, establishes the subject, the incarnations. Then, plenary portions of the Purusha avatars follow as predicate. In the same way, when Krishna, so in other words, they say these incarnations, so that they know. But then, what follows is, they are portions, means they are portions or plenary portions. Plenary portions are portions of plenary portions. To get all the bees in the right place. Right? So that's what's the unknown. So first they establish the incarnations, then they're establishing this. And then who are they therefore incarnations of or plenary portions of? Then that is Krishna. Right? So that's just how logic presents itself. In the same way, when Krishna was first counted among the incarnations, specific knowledge above him was still unknown. Therefore, first the word Krishna appears as the subject, followed by the predicate, describing him as the original personality of Godhead. This establishes that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. The original personality of Godhead is therefore necessarily Krishna. Had Krishna been the plenary portion and Narayan the primeval Lord, the statement of Suta Goswami would have been reversed. He would have started the other way. Thus he would have said, Narayan, the source of all incarnations, is the original personality of Godhead. He has appeared as Sri Krishna. Mistakes, illusions, cheating, and defective perception do not occur in the sayings of the authoritative sages. Right? So they say this, because that's why we saw in the Tattvasandarbha that they're establishing that Sutra Goswami, Vyasadeva, and Sukadeva are in that same transcendental position. So there is no mistake in what they say. Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam. Did we change the clock? Or it's still. No? Did you move it back? Or it's still. Oh no, it's time. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.